This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. You're listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the USA. Good afternoon from London, Nick. How are you?
Hey, Johnny. I'm doing well.
Last time we spoke was on Wednesday. That was just before we heard from the Fed. And of course, the day before those important US CPI numbers, which we'll talk about in a moment or two. We'll also preview the next few days and look to the week ahead. But yesterday, Nick, US stocks declined after a slightly hotter than expected inflation report did spark questions about the Fed's next move. I mean, it was only 0.1 above what markets expected and still on the down.
Yeah. And to touch on the CPI from yesterday, you mentioned it was a little higher than expected. But I think the key word here, the easiest word I could use to explain the consumer price index from yesterday, was it wasn't hot. It was warm. And I think that there's a distinction here, because if it was hot, you would have been talking about a higher number than previous or something like that. But we have to still remind ourselves that inflation on CPI, the report, is hitting a low for multiple years, even though it was higher than expected at 2.3. The number that came out was 2.4% year over year. I mean, we're still seeing a new low for inflation over the last few years. Now, it depends who you ask, because some areas of the market, specifically like on the currency side, for example, that was a bit of an uptick news point for the dollar, because again, that pushes back the rate cut timeline a little bit. But we still have to remember, inflation is coming down 2.4, 2.3. In my opinion, it doesn't make a huge difference, simply because we still see inflation coming down. And we got more evidence of that today, Johnny, because we got the producer price index as well, which showed some cooling in the inflation overall as well. So I think that we can kind of quantify that inflation report for CPI as warm, because it wasn't an alarming figure. Sure, it wasn't super cool fresh water from the tap here, but we'll take warm in context of an economy that has pretty strong labor data recently, and a consumer that seems to be doing okay. I mean, we also saw in the last NFP report, wage growth was up. So there are some things here. I mean, it kind of depends who you want to ask, but in my view, take a whole look at the labor situation, the inflation situation, and the outlook of the Fed, and you've got a pretty good case for a soft landing, it seems, currently.
It's funny, really. I was just thinking about what you were saying, and I think markets tend to nowadays be so much more negative and cautious than they need to be. You've just pointed out all the good stuff: low inflation, good employment numbers, good PPIs, and so on. I wonder whether it's because, you know, it's the old adage, once bitten, twice shy. We've had some pretty turbulent years with COVID, the hike in energy prices, mainly down to the problems with supply and the war in Ukraine and so on. It's almost as if markets don't want to get too carried away, that they might believe that things are on the up, that good times are ahead. And we've got into this rather unnecessarily negative mindset.
I think we as humans typically do seek out problems and things that are threats. I mean, it's kind of like a survivalistic mentality. And I think when we talk about markets specifically, as you mentioned, especially when we've had so many threatening events in the last few years, it is normal for markets to look at things a little bit skeptically. But yeah, I mean, when you map it out, you say, okay, where is the big threat in the room? At one point, Johnny, when we were doing the podcast in 2022, 2023, it was just a constant threat of inflation is just not going away. We don't know how far this goes. This could lead us off of a cliff into a horrible recession. And that was a persistent theme that was actively driving the markets lower. When we now look at the markets making a move higher and higher and higher, sure, you can look at that skeptically and cautiously, and I think that that is an intelligent thing to do, but you have to ask, why is it going higher? It's because a lot of things here seem to be pointing in a progress direction rather than a getting worse direction, where we saw with you know, the inflation in 2022. That's a very valid thing to be fearful about, is like, how bad is the cost of living going to get if it's worsening every time we report? But now it seems like people are still getting jobs, inflation's still coming down. Look at the direction of these things, and you're looking more at an optimistic scenario than we were at least from a context of a few years ago. Now, the question here, Johnny, is like we just discussed, like we've got a lot of warm readings for the economy, like things are doing pretty well, inflation's coming down. The you know, practical thing for us to do next in terms of isolating or looking for threats to the situation is to, you know, continue to monitor if any changes to that story start to appear. But right now, I would say that there are always going to be positive and negative things to look at, but it seems like most things are pointing towards a positive direction for the foreseeable future.
Which is, if it's for the foreseeable future, generally good news for the wannabe president, Kamala Harris, rather than the former President Trump. It depends who you ask. It's all down to the optics and who you're talking to, really. None of these figures suggest it's bad news for Biden, Harris. Let's change subject a little bit. And Elon Musk has unveiled Tesla's Cybercab, the robo taxi, and that sparked quite a lot of excitement, hasn't it, in the markets, and some skepticism as well. And you were telling me just before we started the podcast that market reaction was a bit muted to this.
Yeah, so a lot of innovation, a lot of stuff, you know, announced, and some exciting things to watch for sure. If you watched a bit of the evening's events. However, Tesla stock down, you know, at one point here, I think it was down like 9% on the day, which is a pretty good haircut on the stock price. That being said, this is a very volatile company. It has been for many years. It is volatile because innovation doesn't come with, you know, Wall Street's preferred consistent profit growth. It does have hiccups and upsides and downsides, and some things are going to work, some things are not going to work. Overall, I would say that the reaction here was not a particularly positive one in terms of a stock price thing. But, you know, if you actually watch the stuff that went on there, some of those new vehicles and the robo-taxi stuff look very innovative and very interesting. If nothing else, as long as they continue to innovate and pump money into this stuff, perhaps it looks good for companies like NVIDIA, who are providing the semiconductor chips to this operation. But yeah, it's a bit of a sentiment stock as well for the markets. You know, Tesla typically is doing well when people have an appetite for, you know, innovation and risk taking that is not necessarily backed by immediate profits. You know, when you talk about a company like Microsoft, or, you know, these giants that can just turn around and you know, show rising profits, revenues, everything very easily and quickly. That's one thing. But Tesla, which is a historically richly valued company based on all of the potential future gains, anything that spooks investors can cause large moves to the downside. And so we're seeing a little bit of that here today. I do also want to just make a quick mention in terms of the presidential election stuff, because it's so close here. Of course, in terms of Tesla, you know, green energy stuff is one side, but we also know that, you know, Elon Musk has been very vocal about his support for Donald Trump, and also about the economy and who that actually supports. I think that, in my opinion, and this is certainly a debatable opinion, but I think that the economy being at where it's at is a pretty decent spot. You could debate, however, and I think this is the more open for debate section, whose policies really led to the economy being where it currently is. Was it the Biden administration? Maybe it was, you know, also the Trump's economy before. But arguably, maybe the easiest answer is actually Jerome Powell and the people at the Fed. Maybe they're actually just doing a pretty good job at keeping inflation under control and labor data decently supported. So, you know, that's the part where you can debate endlessly who's to blame or who's to thank for different scenarios.
That's very loyal of you, Nick, to go with the financial guys rather than the politicians. Listen, before you go, let's look ahead to the next few days. What's coming up over the next week or so?
Yeah. So next week, we've got the U.S. retail sales numbers. Of course, we'll get unemployment claims. We also hear from the ECB. We have their refinancing rate decision and monetary policy statements next Thursday. And it's a relatively quiet week in comparison to what has been the last 2 weeks of, you know, a lot of chaos. So kind of a light week. I would say that on the U.S. side of things, retail sales and unemployment claims are going to be your big ones there. And then watching out for what the ECB says. Both of those events take place on Thursday.
Excellent. Have a great weekend and we'll speak to you again next week.
Thanks, Shawnee. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.